I want to start by saying, you know, well, first of all, I want to thank Dee for running the slides, because we got a lot to do today. So if I am speaking too fast for you, you just need to listen quicker, and it'll all work out. Because later today, I'm planning on, Pastor Lisa, or my wife, Lisa and I are planning on watching the Packers, and Dee, despite the Bears playing, I know, it's all right. So, but there is such a thing as forgiveness, and you are forgiven. So today we're going to talk about forgiveness, the importance of forgiveness, and how forgiveness has freely been offered and given to us through the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, and how he expects us to turn and to forgive others, those who have harmed us. So next. So first of all, we got to start with what forgiveness is not. After pastoring for 35 plus years, I heard a lot of things about forgiveness and the struggle with forgiving those who have harmed us. With things, from what I heard was that there was a misunderstanding often about what biblical forgiveness actually is and what it looks like and what it sounds like. So we'll just do quickly, what is forgiveness, what is not forgiveness? Well, one, it is not conditional. Forgiveness is not, I will forgive you if you do this. I will forgive you if you act differently. We're going to get to more about that, but I will forgive you when you blah, blah, blah. That is not forgiveness. Next. So it's not conditional. It is not about minimizing the seriousness of offense. This is not forgiveness. When someone says to you, oh, it's no big deal anyway. Oh, it didn't hurt that much. Don't worry about it. It's, you know, it's just me. That's not forgiveness. Next. It is not forgiveness is resuming the relationship without change. In the last town that we pastored in, back in Waupaca, Wisconsin, there was a Baptist church, and it came to be found out that for 5 years, the treasurer had been absconding with funds from the church. And when the pastor found this out and the board found it out, they fired her. Everybody say yes. They fired her. But there was an uproar within the church, because she was well-loved, that said, well, you shouldn't fire her. You should forgive her, right? And of course, the pastor, in his wisdom, said, I will forgive her, but we're not going to hire her. Somebody say yes to that. There's got to be a change in our relationship, because we no longer trust her. If you right now, I just want to say it, if you are in a situation in which you are being abused, you can forgive that person, but you do not have to remain in that situation. Seek help. You do not have to stay there. That is not the gospel, the good news of God. He has not meant for you to be in any kind of that kind of abusive situation. So the relationship has to change. What forgiveness is not? It is not my right when I wasn't the one harmed. So I've heard this a lot. I've had people say to me, especially on today's date, in the past when it was even more sensitive to us. People say, I don't know how I could ever forgive those crazy, deluded people who did that on 9/11. Guess what? You don't have to. Unless it was, you know, one of those 3,000 who died on that day, unless it was your family. You don't have to forgive them. It's not my job. I don't have to forgive somebody who has hurt someone else. I don't have to do that. It's not, matter of fact, it's not my right to do that. If someone has harmed you, it's not my right to say, I forgive them. And actually, it takes away from the victims their right and power to forgive, or in some cases, to not. Next, it is not forgetting what happened. And I think this is the toughest one for folks that I've heard is, I don't know if I could ever just, I can't forget it. So therefore, I haven't forgiven. Well, I'm just going to tell you they're not the same thing. Well, I've read in Scripture, I've heard, where God forgets all of our sins. He's God. I can't. He can. He can do all things. I can't. Unless they gave me a lobotomy, I won't forget it. Yeah? If you don't know what that is, you can Google it later. It's okay. But you don't want it to happen. So, forgiveness is not about forgetting. It is not about, if you are struggling to forgive, you do not have to forget. As a matter of fact, in the parable that I read that Jesus spoke on about forgiveness, that king who forgave the servant the millions of dollars at the beginning, he didn't forget that he had forgiven that servant those millions. You don't have to forget. That should be a relief to us. Because it just is impossible to happen. And next, and this is connected to not having to forget, forgiveness at its essence is not a feeling. It is an action. It's not a feeling. I don't feel like forgiving. Years and years ago, I had, as pastor, and I have the right, I've been given permission, I should say, to share this story. I had permission to sit with a woman, and she came to me. She's a member of the church. I'd been there for like 5 years. I saw her once in a while. And she showed up in my office one day and said, I really need to talk to you. And I said, okay, let's talk. And she told me that this was the anniversary of her daughter's death. And, okay, and we continued the conversation. And in that conversation, she then told me, and the reason you don't see me around church a lot is because in church, we're always talking about forgiving those who have harmed us, and I just can't forgive this person. And I said, what person? Well, come to find out, when her daughter was 17 in Milwaukee, her daughter said goodbye at the kitchen table one day, walked out, and was never seen again. And it was about 2 years later that they arrested a man who confessed of her murder, along with the murder of many others in the Milwaukee area. He's currently in prison still. And she's like, I cannot forgive him. And then we started talking. And it came out that it was really, she can't, release the feelings, or she can't get rid of the feelings for her daughter. And I just want to say, whoever has harmed you in the past, and if you're over the age of, I don't know, 4, you've been harmed by someone. Someone has done you wrong. But you do not need to forget that. You do not need to release or not have feelings about it. So that's what forgiveness is not about, those things. Next, So what is biblical forgiveness? First of all, biblical forgiveness, if you are willing to forgive anyone or those who have harmed you from the past, it starts with remembering how much you have been forgiven. Jesus Christ on the cross died for the forgiveness of your sins. He has cleansed you from every sin that you committed. You are a forgiven people. You stand before God because of what Jesus Christ, you can stand before God because of what Jesus Christ has done for you on the cross of Calvary. And sin has no more power in your life. And the guilt of sin. Next slide. From Ephesians chapter 4. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgiving. Say forgiving. Forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. God did not forgive you because you're a good person. God did not forgive you because you got a great education. God did not forgive you because you were kind to your neighbor. God did not forgive you because you filled out all your tax forms correctly and sent them in on time. God did not forgive you because of your virtue. God forgave you because of the sacrifice of his son on Calvary. You are forgiven. And therefore, you do not need to manufacture forgiveness. It has first been given to you. And you have the ability, because you have it, to now give it to someone else, whomever that might be. Next. So it starts with remembering how much Christ has forgiven you. And that should bring to your memory some humility. And some humility and humanity on the broken state in which we all live, and in the person who harmed you lives. Number two, I relinquish it. So it goes from remembering to relinquishing my right to get even. Life's not fair. Turn to your neighbor and say, life's not fair. Life's not fair. It just isn't fair. If you're talking about fair, it ain't going to happen. If you're waiting for it, don't hold your breath because you're going to pass out. Life ain't fair. It's not that way. And you have a right to get even, don't you? Yes, you do. I believe you do have a right to get even. I have the right to get even. Somebody harms me, I have the right to get back at them. I have that right. Forgiveness is relinquishing that right. God had the right to get even with us. He definitely had the right to get even with me. I don't know about you, but he had the right to get. There's a lot of things. Don't talk to my wife. There's a lot of things he had the right to get even with me and has had the right. But he has chosen not to. He has relinquished, let down that right. Somebody cuts you off on Speedway Boulevard, you have the right to stick your hand out the window and wave at them. Or whatever else. You come up with that in your own mind, and that just proves the point that we all need forgiveness. So, Remember that Christ has first and foremost forgiven you, that you have forgiveness now, the ability to give it to somebody else because you have it. You don't have to manufacture it. Now you can relinquish your rights to get back and to get even and give that to those who have harmed you. Jesus said, "But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also." Next. From the book of Proverbs, do not say, I'll pay you back for this wrong. Wait for the Lord, and he will deliver you. He will rescue you. Whatever that might look like, he will rescue you. And third and finally, what biblical forgiveness is responding to evil with good. So it's remembering that Christ has first forgiven me and now I contain forgiveness. I hold it. It's mine. It is a God gift to me. Next, I have the right to get even, but I choose not to, because God has chosen not to get even with me. And third, I can now act in goodness towards the other. Jesus said, "But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies." Everybody just take a breath. Love your enemies. You know, when I used to teach confirmation or pre-communion to kids, and we talk about in the Lord's Supper, is the forgiveness of sins is present. And what is that? What does that look like? And I'd always say to them, well, just think about your greatest enemy. You know, when I talk a lot of this way to adults, you know, my greatest enemy? Do I have enemies? I don't. I'm far more mature than having enemies. I might have people who are real jerks around me, but I don't have enemies. And kids are able to identify, oh yeah, I mean, I remember Donald. It was quite a while ago, but I remember him. So forgiveness is like your greatest enemy. You would invite them to come and eat in the cafeteria with you. And you would share your food with them. Soon we're going to receive the Lord's Supper. God breaks bread. Shares in his body, his blood with us. For the forgiveness of our sins. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. I find that if you are struggling with forgiving someone, a great place to start is by praying for the person. Asking God to bless the socks right off of them. The prayer should not sound something like this: Lord, bless them so that they remember what jerks they are. And I got to tell you, more than likely, they have no idea. They have long forgotten you. You guys are pretty memorable, too. So, okay, next. Love keeps no record of wrongs. This is the way, the practice of what love truly looks like. Of course, that's from 1 Corinthians 13, and we think of marriage, though Paul wasn't thinking of marriage when he wrote this. He's just saying in all cases, we're to love even our enemies and keep no records of wrongs. Next. So why? Why should I, if it's my right, why should I offer grace, forgiveness to others? Well, because God has forgiven me. It starts with that. God has forgiven me. Turn to your neighbor and say, God forgives you. You may not have received that into your life, but God forgives you. And if you're sitting next to your spouse, that might be hard to say sometimes. With all the work it takes just to get to church in the morning. So don't say amen. Yeah. So next, I forgive you. Why offer grace to others? And listen to this and take this to heart, especially if you're struggling. If you struggle with the message that Jesus gives us in the Gospels. Because the alternative is bitterness and resentment. Because though they may have forgotten long ago what they did to you, you have not. And it is burning a hole in your soul. It is destroying your joy. It is taking from you life. It is sucking out all the fun and blessedness of the life that Jesus has given. It is destroying your ability to love others. And God has better plans for you. God has a better future for you than that. God desires that you walk as princes and princesses in the kingdom. Here's an anonymous quote. It was given to Mark Twain, but he didn't say it or write it, too bad. Holding on to anger is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Yes, everybody say yes to that. It does no good. It wastes your time, wastes your energy, wastes your life. This is why you should forgive those who have harmed you, as difficult as it might be. We don't want to diminish the harm that has been done to others. So many in this world have been victimized. We are a hurt people, and we hurt others. We should expect the opportunity to use forgiveness often. That which Christ first gave to us. It is a gift to be shared. Next. Why offer grace to others? Because God expects me to forgive those who have wronged me. It is an expectation of your heavenly Father that you might forgive those who have harmed you. It is His desire and expectation of you. And we heard it straightforward in the parable that Jesus does of the kingdom. Jesus said, "For if you forgive others when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." In a little while, we're going to pray together the Lord's Prayer. Lord, forgive us. Forgive me as I can't even remember it off the top of my head. You know it, right? You've prayed it before. You know, if you're not willing to at least try to forgive those, really could be a curse on you. Jesus meant it as a gift. You don't want to live under the curse of bitterness. You don't want to live under the curse of remembrance. You don't want to be trapped in your past. You have a future to live. God has gifted you for the present and for the future to be a blessing to others. And he has given you from his veins the ability to forgive those who harm you. Right now, the Father is present. Take a moment. I just invite you to close your eyes. Holy Spirit, I ask that you speak to us now in our hearts. Lord, you know if we've held on to harm. You know if we've carried, cradled, and nursed resentment and bitterness. Lord, we desire to walk free. We come to the cross this morning. In our minds, in our imaginations, we come to Calvary. We look up and we see who you are and your love for us. How much you've paid for us, redeemed us, stretched out your arms on the cross to welcome us, and that you also welcome others, including those who have harmed us. Help us to be beacons of light in a dark world. We bear forgiveness in our hearts. Give us the courage to let down our rights, to relinquish our rights, to get even, and let us give blessing instead. Lord, our world is in such need of forgiveness, of healing. Help it to start with us. Let us be the solution and not the problem. We lift before you those who have harmed us. We ask that you would bless them. That you would pour out your gracious love on them as you pour it out on me this morning. We thank you. We praise you. We give you glory for our future. We thank you that we can live in your joy in the here and now, despite any pain we might carry. And Lord, as we receive the Lord's Supper, your supper, as we receive you today, we give you thanks. We praise you for the forgiveness given to us and the opportunity to give it to others. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our King, our Master, our Redeemer, our High Priest. We pray this in your mighty name, Jesus. We remember the marks you bear on your hands for us and for all of humankind. We pray this in your mighty name. Amen.